On surveys and studies of loneliness, younger generations repeatedly show some of the highest levels of being lonely. And the pandemic has raised challenges for people of all ages when it comes to finding connections. But our next guest says we can find ways to connect, and it's worth the effort. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How do you handle feeling lonely? Where have you found community in our modern world, pre-pandemic or now? Are there online groups or in-person meetups you've tried in order to feel more connected? Did you have a lonely time of your life? Is it now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Rainsford Stauffer is a writer. Her new book is called An Ordinary Age, Finding Your Way in a World That Expects Exceptional. She joined us last week to talk about the book. We're welcoming her back for a second conversation after our connection was cut short because of technical issues. Rainsford, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me back.
Well, I mentioned those survey numbers, Rainsford, finding a lot of loneliness among young people, and it sounds like that was no surprise to you. You've been talking to younger people, and you hear stories of loneliness again and again. What kind of things do you run into?
Right. What's so interesting about this is that obviously this past year has been lonely for a lot of people in a lot of different ways. But we also know that young people, people ages roughly 18 to 35, were ranking high on the scale of loneliness when surveyed anyway. I think that one of the things that we sometimes look over about young adulthood is that it's a real transitional point of life. Regardless of whether you're going from high school into the workforce, or you're moving to college, or you're graduating, maybe you're moving cities, we kind of find ourselves adrift without maybe the built-in social structures that we were used to having, either with our family or with peers at a certain job or even peers in school. And it can lead to feeling really lonely. I think the compounding effect of that is everyone thinks that they're the only one experiencing loneliness. So we end up being lonely within that. We think that it's a problem with us, that we're the ones that can't make friends, or we're not putting ourselves out there the right way. When really, one of the things I learned while reporting the book is that loneliness in and of itself isn't a bad thing. And that's something I wish we talked about more.
Why is that? Why, it seems like feeling lonely is bad. Why isn't it a bad thing?
Absolutely. One of the experts I spoke to laid this out really well. First, there's a difference between chronic loneliness, which is social isolation that is enduring. It's where someone really doesn't feel like they have the resources or the community support they need to establish a sense of connection. But loneliness, when it's not chronic, isn't necessarily a bad thing, because it's kind of like feeling thirsty or feeling hungry. It's signaling to your body and to your brain that you're in need of something, that you're in need of a connection, that you're in need of other people. And I think that that's something that kind of goes overlooked in these conversations, because first of all, it's scary to need other people. It's hard to admit that maybe you can't do it all by yourself, or you don't want to do it all by yourself. And I think that that really requires us getting away from this hyper-individualism that tells us that we should be able to stand alone and do everything by ourselves, when in reality, we all need people. None of us were meant to go it alone.
That reminds me of one thing that really struck me in your chapter on loneliness, is a lot of people felt ashamed of being lonely, or they were doing it wrong. There were failures, especially young people who are thinking, I'm at the age where I'm supposed to be, you know, out and partying and hanging out with people all the time. How have I failed? Could you talk about that reaction?
Right. So we have this mentality of kind of what young adult life is going to be, even though we know that that often doesn't match the economics or realities or just personal circumstances someone's existing in. But we think generally of best friends that we can tell all our secrets to, kind of being surrounded by a wide circle of people, or on the flip side, being so independent and so brave that we're comfortable doing things alone. And being able to do things alone and being self-reliant, those are wonderful attributes. But I think that when we talk about young adulthood especially, we've kind of left out the other half of the messaging, which is that not only have you not failed if you're lonely, being lonely is a signal that you need people, that you want to open up your life and you want to figure out ways to foster that community. And that's a really good thing. I think that when we admit that we're lonely, it hopefully sucks the stigma out of the fact that this is a really ordinary experience and a sensation that most of us are probably going to have in some capacity at some point in our life.
We're talking to Rainsford Stauffer, author of the new book, An Ordinary Age, Finding Your Way in a World That Expects Exceptional. We're focusing in on her chapter on loneliness, very common among younger people, according to surveys and according to conversations she had with a lot of people. It can happen, of course, to anybody at any age. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, thoughts, and maybe your experiences with loneliness now or at some point in your life. Do you have advice for other people on how to come out of it? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. So, Rainsford, you said loneliness is a sign that we need that connection. You know, thirst, everybody would need to drink some liquid. If we're hungry, we need some food. But it seems like the cure for loneliness might be different for you than it would be for me or somebody else.
Absolutely. That was one of the most enlightening things I found while I was reporting this chapter. We don't all need the same amount of social interaction. We're not all going to find fulfillment in the same kinds of communities or relationships. It really requires that we kind of, ironically, for being lonely, look inward and think about what you want out of a relationship and what you need. One of the things that came up in my reporting during this chapter from an expert that I thought was so interesting was the idea of social health and kind of the emotional immune system, which I think is so prevalent right now since it is Mental Health Awareness Month, that we need to figure out what version of this works for us. Just because you know you need community doesn't mean you should feel guilty that you're not going out with new people every single night or trying to make new friends. In a lot of cases, what we need isn't even a best friend at all. It's just knowing we've got people in our corner and kind of those loose tie connections that make up our day-to-day lives.
If I conjured up a mental image of loneliness, I guess it would be a person sitting alone in a room. But that's not necessarily what it looks like, right? You talk about that the alone in a crowd phenomenon. Why can we feel lonely even when we're surrounded by people?
Definitely. I think that that stems from needing different things out of different social circumstances. There were actually a lot of young people I talked to that described technically being surrounded by people, whether it was in a social setting or it was at work or some other extracurricular kind of community event, and feeling deeply lonely. And in those instances, what they explained is that they were around people, yes, but they didn't feel understood. They didn't understand how to reach out and make a connection or why people seemingly didn't want to do that with them. And they felt a little bit out of place. I think that that's another reason why it's so important to prioritize different kinds of connections and different sorts of friendship. So when we think of loneliness, it's not just sitting alone in a crowded room. The antidote to loneliness is finding the kind of community that fulfills you.
We're talking with Rainsford Stauffer about loneliness. She focuses on that topic in part of her new book, An Ordinary Age, Finding Your Way in a World That Expects Exceptional. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you felt loneliness at some point in your life? Were you able to come out of it? If so, how? Have you found ways to cultivate relationships with people, add friends to your roster of connections, even if they're not your best friend? Have you turned people from acquaintances into sort of that middle range of friends? How do you do that? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking with Rainsford Stauffer about her new book, An Ordinary Age, Finding Your Way in a World That Expects Exceptional. We're talking about loneliness, friendship, and community. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your experiences, maybe your solutions. You can also send us an email, ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Rainsford, a big thing about that age, that new adult age that you talk about in your chapter on loneliness is, you know, we're coming out of a situation, whether it's, you know, high school or college, where were kind of thrown in with people. You have no choice in some ways to make friends. Now all of a sudden you're in this situation, I don't know, where it feels weird to go up and say, you know, will you be my friend? How can we start to learn to cultivate people when we're outside of that sort of captive environment of, say, school?
It is so much harder in some ways. I heard from a lot of people realizing that they'd never had to, as they put it, put in effort to make a friend. It seemed like there were always just sort of friendships around to be forged, and that those things unfolded very naturally. And then as you enter a more adult stage of your life, or one in which your social circle isn't condensed to a given area, you realize that between fatigue from work, keeping up with everything like grocery shopping, trying to take care of yourself, it's really hard to have the energy to maintain friendships or to make new friendships too. And so one of the things that I heard about from people was the idea of establishing a routine. Whether it was making a routine phone call once a week at a standing time to a friend you knew from college or high school, whether it was showing up at a meeting or a club or a volunteering event when things were still happening in person, it was about putting something on the calendar and making a commitment to doing it. And I think that that helped people in a couple ways. The first being that, you know, it's easy to think, oh, well, I'll do that next week. Right now, I'm really tired. And it kind of establishes this routine that getting to know other people is going to be part of what we do over the course of the day. I also think it helps to get people over that initial awkward first moment of trying to meet a new group or engage with a new community. None of us like to be uncomfortable, but when we can keep showing up and keep figuring out how to put ourselves out there, it gives people the opportunity to reach back out to us as well.
There's also a question about how to set the bar for those new friendships, because I think people might think of friend as that all-in, ride-or-die BFF, and we can actually get a lot of benefit from something somewhere between that and just the casual acquaintance. Can you talk about those middle-level friends?
I love that one of the people I spoke to in this book talked about what she called medium friends. And I thought that was a great description, because it's kind of like, on one hand, we've got the ride or die best friends that are almost like family. And on the other hand, it's like we've got a bunch of acquaintances whose last names we may or may not know. And I think that in the middle, there's actually a lot of value and maybe less pressure. These might be people that you meet at work and get a coffee with after work one day. You might meet them because you volunteer for the same organization and you have that in common. They're people that may not know your deepest, darkest secrets, but they show up and they create a sense of community when you need them to, and vice versa. And I think that that's what's so cool about those relationships, and realizing that you can have friends of different backgrounds, friends you go to with different things, friends of all different ages, and they each bring something unique to your life. I think if we can stop thinking about friendship as sort of a one-size-fits-all thing that it's supposed to be, and expand our ideas of what it means to be in community with other people, we'll go a long way in figuring out how to navigate those feelings of loneliness.
Talking to Rainsford Stauffer, her new book is called An Ordinary Age, Finding Your Way in a World That Expects Exceptional. We're talking about loneliness and how to come out of it. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your questions or your experiences. Rainsford, you mentioned at the outset, one thing we don't do much is talk about loneliness, so everybody thinks they're the only ones who are alone. Can you talk about the value of talking about it?
I think talking about it is one of the first ways we start kind of weaving our way through it. I didn't know until I started reporting this book that second to old age, young adulthood is actually one of the loneliest times of our life. And so when we're sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, something's wrong with me, I'm the one that can't make friends, I think it's helpful to realize that it's a really ordinary sensation. And I think talking about it gives us the opportunity to realize that. I got so many messages that said a version of, well, I know I'm responsible for my own happiness, but, and then going into feeling guilt or shame about being lonely. And while I don't think anyone is debating that self-reliance and having an active role in your own happiness is important, I think that we've really underestimated how much we all need other people. And I think that sometimes saying that out loud is truly the hardest part.
Can you talk about the distinction between solitude as a voluntary thing versus loneliness?
Absolutely. There are a lot of instances where feeling solitude is actually a profoundly comforting thing. When it's voluntary, when it's something that you're choosing, like you know you need to spend the evening just kind of hanging out with yourself, it can feel incredibly healing. It can create great space to pause and reflect. It can be a nice breather from a world that is incredibly overstimulating. Loneliness, on the other hand, is your social needs not being met. You're not choosing to hang out with yourself. You're not choosing not to be around other people or to be in community with them. It's something that you feel like you're lacking or that you need. And I think that that's a really important distinction, because I've heard from a lot of people that think, well, I need my alone time. It's what makes me happy. And I think that that's exactly the point. A lot of the time, solitude and being by ourselves is what's going to make us happy. It's just that that's not the same thing as being lonely.
How does social media fit into all of this? On the one hand, it can make us feel sort of connected. On the other hand, it can make it look like everybody's having so much more fun than we are.
I think that's such a great question, because it was one I got to really hear both sides of while thinking about this and reporting on this for the book. A lot of people did talk about kind of the sinking feeling you get when you get on Instagram and you see a photo of a bunch of people you thought were your friends out somewhere where you weren't invited. Or you look at social media and think, well, everyone is out doing something and I'm sitting at home alone. So in those instances, it really can drive home this idea that I'm the only one who must be lonely. But on the flip side of that, young people talked about all the ways they'd really use social media as a means of finding community. They joined groups, they made friends, they were able to see versions of their identities represented that they couldn't safely in their real day-to-day lives. And so I think in that way, it can be a really powerful tool. I always think of one of the tips that an expert I interviewed in this chapter gave to overcoming loneliness in regard to social media, which is that instead of passively scrolling through it and looking at other people's lives, we can decide to message them and kind of play a small part in it. We can send them a little compliment. We can send them a message. Hey, don't know if you remember me, but thinking of you, how are you doing? We can try to use social media as a tool to create community and reach out where we can.
Even if we're not the lonely one, Rainsford, it seems like from you talking to people from the surveys out there, there's a good chance that someone in our social circles is dealing with loneliness at any given time. How can we, I don't know, up our loneliness radar and reach out to those people and help them build those connections?
Oh, I love that. I think the great thing about reaching out to people is it's not just a benefit to them, it's also a benefit to you. It's a benefit to us, because the richer our communities are, the more invested we are in other people. It gives them the opportunity to become part of our lives and invest in us in the same way. I think that a good thing to keep in mind is that whether you're lonely right now or can't imagine being, we're all going to hit a point in our lives where we feel like we're in it alone. And I think it can be as simple as maybe getting back in touch with a friend or family member you haven't talked to in a while. If you see someone new at work or at school, maybe making the effort to reach out to them first, even if it is via social media, if that's the kind of relationship you have and that's the comfort level. I think when we can realize that it's not just us feeling lonely, and that where we can be the ones to help someone else work their way through loneliness, we all end up feeling closer together and like we're more seen and heard and supported.
I want to bring this home, Rainsford, to something you touched on earlier that is really an overarching point, I think, in your book, not just the loneliness chapter, the tension between, especially for that emerging adult, I should be able to handle everything. I should be able to do it all on my own versus the need we have for connection. How can we do a little of both successfully?
Absolutely. I think that this is such a thing for young adults, but really, I think it impacts all of us across our lifespan. The idea that being self-reliant and needing other people are inherently contradictory ideas. I think first it requires us talking about the fact that they aren't. We weren't designed to handle everything in our lives alone. We weren't designed to go through it alone. And when you stop and think about it, you think about the moments of your own life that felt especially good or especially fulfilling. Chances are they were happening in some form of community with other people. You wanted to share them with someone. So I think that if we can spin this hyper-individualism into I'm going to rely on other people and I'm going to let them rely on me. I think that what we come to is a more inclusive, warm, fulfilling world and relationships with other people in our various communities, whether that's best friends or coworkers or neighbors.
We'll leave it there. Rainsford, we made it without losing our connection today. Thank you so much for coming back to us.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Rainsford Stauffer, writer and author of the new book, An Ordinary Age, Finding Your Way in a World That Expects Exceptional. She joined us today to talk about loneliness and finding community. Well, if you have a story to share, if you've gone through loneliness and come through on the other side, send us an email. Tell us about it, ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org.